and welcome to the Word of Life Church podcast. We're delighted you've chosen to spend some time with us today. We believe that today's message has the power to inspire and elevate your faith journey. Before we dive in, we'd like to express our heartfelt thanks to our partners. Your generous contributions make it possible for us to continue spreading the gospel, serving our community, and carrying out our ministry. If today's episode moves you and you'd like to be a part of our mission, we'd invite you to become a partner. Your support has an everlasting impact and allows us to reach even more souls. Now, let's turn our hearts and our minds to the Word as we begin today's episode.
I want to ask you to open up your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 14. We started a series in March called It Is Written. And we looked at the importance of God's Word, and we looked specifically in the life of Jesus, and we saw that when his life was under attack, and this stood out to me. When his life was under attack, the Lord turned to the Word. And with each specific attack, he had a specific word for that attack. All from the book of Deuteronomy. And then when the Lord wanted to step into something new in Scripture, he opened to the book of Isaiah. And he said, "This is me." And in your life, I know your life comes under attack, so does mine. But there is a specific word for each specific attack. And the way that we beat the enemy is with the Word of God. God has given us the armor of God, and one piece of that armor is the sword of the Spirit, which Scripture says, it is what? The Word of God. And so we said every piece of armor that the Lord has given us, according to Ephesians, is defensive in nature. That armor allows me to withstand any evil attack, to stand in the evil day. But there is one weapon that he's given me, one piece of armor that is offensive in nature. And it is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we said, when we're under attack, we don't just look at all these natural things to be set free. We take out our sword and we sling God's word. We pray God's word. We worship with God's word. We speak God's word. We have God's word at the foundation of our lives. And there's a story that ever since I began studying, I could not escape from that kind of illustrated this point. And I want to go to that and just finish out that series with this word. Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 22. It said, immediately he being Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. And while he sent the crowds away, after he sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now notice the Lord and the role prayer had in his life. He sends them away to go do this spiritual thing, and when it was evening, he was there alone. And so Jesus had the habit of practicing solitude with the Lord in prayer. We see this oftentimes that the disciples would find him, and when they found him in prayer. And let it be even for us, let it be for me, and let it be for you, that when people find us, they don't just find us on our phones. Come on, somebody. That when they find us, they don't just find us watching television, checking emails. That there ought to be some times that when you find me in prayer. And so the Lord had this habit of going alone and practicing solitude and getting before his Father in prayer. And after that, in verse 24, it said, but the boat was already a long distance from land, battered by waves. They're in a storm. For the wind was contrary, and in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. That's cool. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. And I'd like to just make a point here that oftentimes when you think you are missing the presence of Jesus, he is always right there, except many times you don't see him. In fact, sometimes you mislabel him. You thought you got laid off, but a year from now, you'll see it was God. He broke up with me. And then a year from now, you'll see it was God. And your family was like, we tried to tell you. So sometimes you see the Lord and the Lord is there, but you don't see him as the Lord. But he will never leave you nor forsake you. And every storm, he's right there. And so out of that, they finally see him walking in the distance, but they don't realize it's him. They think it's a ghost. They cry for fear, verse 27. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, take courage. It is I. You don't have to be afraid. And Peter said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on this water. And the Lord said, come. And Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on the water, and he came towards Jesus. But seeing, watch this, but seeing the wind, he became frightened. Notice, he became frightened when his focus changed. Seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately, how many of you are thankful for the mercy of Jesus? I mean, just, if you don't know what else to pray, just say, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him, and he said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. There's a lot here. But where I want to start this with is I want you to be a water walker. I want you to see the power of God in your life. When Jesus said, come, he left out one word. He left out Peter. He just said, come. And there were 12 other disciples on this boat made by man who would not leave what was made by man to see what God had in store for them. And I find this very interesting that in our church world, even today, there are many disciples of Jesus who just want to cling to what was made by man, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And I, myself, I'm not overly keen or interested in just having something that I believe in be something that I believe in simply because someone told me to believe in it. I want my faith and yours to stand in the power of God. Why do you believe in him? I've seen him. Why do you believe in him? I've seen his power. That my faith stands in what I've seen God do. I've seen miracles. And I have been very blessed. I grew up in a church that believed in miracles. And not every church does. This week, I was in Dallas, and I was looking at churches. We're going to build a new church at Highland Colony. And so we're going to go in the design phase for that. We're expanding at that campus, and we need a new facility. And so out of that, we're in the baby stages of that, of, you know, beginning to meet with architects. But they want to know, what do you want to build? And so it's good to have, you know, an answer to that. And so out of that, I went to Dallas to go look at structures that had just been built and why did they build them that way and what was God speaking on my heart and to my heart. And one of the things that I've seen, and I heard John Maxwell say this, he said, I've seen that God moves oftentimes when I do. And he called it action attraction. And so I know, like, whenever God's speaking to my heart, I need to walk something out. I need to take steps towards it. And when you take action, if it's God, it'll get bigger in you. If it's not God, it won't. And it's getting bigger in me. This building for Highland Colony, it is getting bigger in me. But I'm there and I'm looking at all these facilities, super cool. And this one church we left, it's like, what kind of church is that? I'm like, I don't know. There wasn't any type of information around that would kind of clue you in onto what kind of church that is. Some of you, you may be guests here at one of our campuses and you're like, what kind of church is this? What have I gotten myself into today? And so sometimes, you know, you come in, it's like, I don't know. Like, what do they believe? And so I went on this church's statement of beliefs, and I'm walking through it, and I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And I get to the end of it, and at the end of it, they said that they did not believe in miracles. And they did not believe in the working of the Holy Spirit, that was for a dispensation, and that dispensation was now over. And so these things in Scripture are there to like verify of Jesus. But past that, like they're just not necessary for today. And the thing that interested me is like on their statement of beliefs, every single one of them had Scripture for it. Besides those. Because there is no Scripture for it. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is God. He changes not. Men will lie and change. God will not. And out of that, one of the key characteristics of God is you see, he is a water walker. He is someone who begins to override the natural, to see something that only he can produce and something only he can bring to the world and to a life. And I just got news for you today of if you're here at Word of Life, you were not born for the boat. You were born to be a water walker. You were born to see God do something, not just in word, but in power. And while we want like amazing, strong doctrine, I also want to see the power of God in my life and in yours. I want to see a God who answers by fire. I want to see a God who moves in the miraculous. I want to see a God who moves like he moves in the book of Acts. And I want believers who believe to pray, God, stretch forth your hand to heal. That signs and wonders will be done by the people who preach your name. And that is what the early church was. And this is something that God wants us to be. And so I want to encourage you this year, pursue the miraculous. This year, believe to see a miracle. And I don't know exactly the area you may need a miracle in, but here's a good place to start. What waters are you currently drowning in? Don't make me preach. Because the waters that you are drowning in, what about by the end of this year, are the same waters you are walking on because you have seen the power of the living God. And I just feel that in my heart so big. It's just a prophetic word right now for so many of you that the waters you've been drowning in are the same waters you're going to walk on, not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit of the living God. And maybe it's something going on relationally or something going on financially or something going on in your health that you just feel like this is on top of you. The very thing that has been on top of you in the name of Jesus by the end of this year will be the very thing you are on top of. We are water walkers. We are water walkers. You are a water walker. We're not clinging to the boat. We were not born for the boat. We are those who step out in faith. The children of Israel, God had for them an amazing life. He literally called them out of Egyptian bondage, which is a type and shadow of us, of being called out from the world. But he didn't just call them out from the world to just carry them through a wilderness. He had prepared for them a promised land, a land that flowed with milk and honey. And in every one of your lives, God has a good life for you. He said, I think thoughts for you, and it's plans to give you a hope and a future. That what I want to do for you is even greater than what your eye has seen or your ear has heard or even up to now, the things that have entered into your heart. God has a promised land for you. Just say, come into agreement with that. Just say, God has a promised land for me. He does. But the children of Israel, many of them died without ever getting into that promise. And the reason why is they sent 12 spies into the land and 10 came back with a negative, fearful report. They based what they were thinking and saying off of what they saw. And what they saw were walled cities and giants. And so they came back and they said, we were grasshoppers in our own sight. Now, that's an interesting thing. Like out of all insects, I don't know why they picked a grasshopper, but nevertheless, they ended up there. And they're like, we were grasshoppers in our own sight. And then they said this, and in their sight also. Well, that's a lie. Because when you listen to the people who were in the promised land, the reason why they built those walled cities is because they heard the children of Israel were coming. And that the same God who set them free from Egypt had done some pretty miraculous things. That they better build some defenses for the people who are coming. And so what the children of Israel had done is they had reflected what they thought about themselves into what others thought about them. Have you ever done that before? That you're thinking thoughts about what they're thinking about you, and they're not thinking about that at all. It's just you're thinking that about you, and so now you're thinking they must be thinking that about you. But it was all a lie. And the reason why the children of Israel did not get into the promised land was not because, listen to me, it was not because of the giants in the land. The reason why they didn't get into the promised land was not because of the giants they saw in the land. It was because of the grasshopper they saw in themselves. And we said this 2 weeks ago, the God you see is the God you get. And if you don't see him to be a God of miracles, he will never be one to you. He will never be one to you. Because the God you see is the God you get. But if you come and you raise your expectation a little bit, and you get your hopes up, and you make a decision that I'm going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, and you make a decision that this is not just Jesus, that this is a wonder-working, miraculous, awesome, all-powerful, anointed one sent from God to change my life, and you interact with him as such, you see that the same God who gave you the promise is the same one who can be the finisher of it. And so for Joshua and Caleb, they possessed a different spirit. They did not see themselves as grasshoppers. They saw themselves as sons of God with a covenant, a promise. And they didn't deny that there were walled cities and giants and it would be hard, but they did deny its right to stand before a God who made a promise. And their focus was not the walled cities. Their focus was not the giants. Their focus was God and the promise. And that's where I want your focus to be on this season. Because when you see people who got a miracle, the one thing they always had was a word first. We want the miracle without receiving the word. Miracles begin with whatever he says to you, begin to do it. And so oftentimes we're in a situation where, like the disciples here, we're in a storm. And we're wondering how in the world are we going to make this happen. Get to the other side. We're feeling the missing presence of Jesus. We don't see him directly in the boat. And out of that, we're wondering what in the world is going on in our lives right now. Like, why is God not stopping the storm? In this case, God's the one who told them to get in the boat. He sent them through on the other side. See, we talk a lot about the storms we enter in because we didn't hear from God. What about those storms we enter in because we did hear from God? And so they're in a storm, they're feeling the missing presence of Jesus, they're wondering what they're going to do, they want a miracle, but what they got was a word. And for you right now, you want to see God's power, or at least you should. And some of you, you don't just want it, you need it. You need to see the power of God. And out of that, when we want to see it and we need to see it, what we expect is a miracle. But what we miss is the word that leads to the miracle. Because Peter was not walking on water. Peter was walking on the word. It's not possible to walk on water without the word. The word of God is a law that superexceeds the laws of nature. And if the laws of nature says it can't happen, it's that way for everybody else until you hear from God. Once you hear from God, you can become the exception. And I just got a feeling today, some of you are about to become the exception. They told Sarah, you can't have a child. They told, you're too old, Sarah, to have a child. And that's true. You can't be 90 and giving birth to children unless you've heard from God. And if you've heard from God, his word can overcome natural laws. And what could never happen can now happen. You can become the exception. You're not supposed to be in a lion's den and not get eaten. But when you got a word from God, you can become the exception. You can't go through fire and not be burned. But when you got a word from God, you can. You become the exception. And some of you, you're looking at your life and you got all these reasons why you can't. But I'm here to tell you today, you can become the exception because a word from God can alter anything in life that says, I can't. I said a word from God can overcome anything in life that says, I can't. You can't walk on water. True. But with a word, I can become the exception. And so what he's waiting on here is a word. And he says, Master, if it's you, bid me to come. Jesus says, come. And he steps out on that word. Now, I want you to write some things down. And I want to be very meticulous in these things. Because I want you to have good notes. Because I think it's important. Peter was not walking on water. He was walking on the word. He wasn't trying to be brave. He was trying to be obedient. The Lord had called him out. This is critical. Critical. So many people are trying to have the miracle without the word. They want healing. What scriptures are you standing on? They can't tell you any. I'm praying for my children. What scriptures are you standing on? I have no idea. I'm believing for a breakthrough. What scriptures are you standing on? They don't have any. What did God speak to your heart? We lead with what we want, not with what he said. And so we come to church, and charismatic churches are great about doing this. You see people run around and, you know, get excited. And so there's a lot of enthusiasm, but there's not a lot of results. And I don't mean that ugly. I'm just telling the truth. I've been in church for a long time. And so we feel really faith moments when we have the enthusiasm. But faith is not something you manufacture. Faith is something that comes. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, they'll put this up on the screen. So faith comes. What does faith do? It comes from hearing, and hearing by the what? The word of God. So the way faith comes is by hearing it. Now what happens with faith is people don't want to wait for the word to come. They just want to get in faith. I'm going to faith this through. I'm going to pray this out. And so they're operating from their own strength, acting like the Lord works for them. The Lord does not work for you. The Lord works with you. Confirming his word with signs following. And so out of this, we see these faith moments where people are like, I'm going to believe God. Hashtag going to the other side. Instagram post. Like, fire word. What was it? I have no idea. I just know. I'm stepping out now. They're stepping out with nothing under their feet but enthusiasm. And that's dangerous. Because the very waters Moses walked through were the very waters Pharaoh drowned in. Why? Pharaoh didn't have an invitation. And you, what you see in the body of Christ is like, they're walking on water. They're seeing miracles. I want one. And so they step out where they stepped out. Without the word, they stepped out in. And so just like Pharaoh, you're trying to walk in waters you don't have an invitation for. You need an invitation. You need a word. And the truth is God's got a whole word full of them. This Bible is filled with exceeding great and precious promises for literally anything you will run into. And out of this, the word and the spirit will agree. The spirit will begin speaking to your heart specific things from scripture that jump out of scripture and onto your heart. Now, I got a word. When you have a word, you can see a miracle. When you have a word, you can get in faith. And with faith, all things are possible to him that believes. With faith, mountains can move. With faith, waters that you were normally drowning in are waters you can walk on. But where does faith come from? It's not like I'm going to decide to be in faith, or I feel like getting in faith, or I feel like faith is needed in this moment. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Faith comes the same way fear does. When you feel anxiety, you didn't wake up one day and say, you know what I'm going to be today? I'm going to be filled with fear. It's like, that's what I want to be, fearful. But nevertheless, we have a world that is more filled with fear than ever before. Why? That's what their focus is on. They know all the things going on in the news. They know all the things about their condition. They know all the things about the negative report. They know all the things about the walled cities and giants. They have given their mind over to the information. And the more you focus on those things, the walled cities and the giants and the negative evil report, fear is going to come. It's not like you made a decision. It's like, I'm going to be afraid today. It just did what? It just came. Because what you made a decision to do was fix your focus on the things that would bring fear. And if you want faith, you got to fix your focus on the things that will bring faith. You got to turn off that stuff that's bringing in the negative report, and you got to turn your eyes on, what did God say about this? What promise did he make me? Because water walkers always ask for an invitation. Do you want me to come? I'll wait on you. You want me to step out? I'll wait on you. You want me to do this? I'll wait on you. And I'm not stepping out without a word. And when he got that word come, he stepped out. And what he's walking on, once again, he's not walking on the water. He's walking on the word, because that word has a law that's greater than the laws of nature. It overrode the natural, which is exactly what Jesus was trying to illustrate to them the whole time. Is that you are giving yourself to natural things when spiritual things can always overcome the natural. He is walking on what they have been rowing in. Where was he coming from when he's walking on water? Jesus, where is he coming from? He's coming from a spiritual place. He's been on a mountain praying. Where are they coming from? They're coming from a natural place. See, oftentimes we want to enter into miracles without coming from a spiritual place. So we try to walk out what we've never prayed over. Jesus' faith did not fail because he's coming from a spiritual place and Peter is coming from a natural one. And so out of this, when Peter hears that word, he's beginning to shift and letting go of the natural to step out on the supernatural, which is exactly the call that God is going to ask of every water walker. If you want to see miracles, you got to leave the boat. And so for the disciples, they're in a storm. They don't like their destination. They don't like where they're at. They're in a storm. They don't want to be here, though. And some of you, you're in places, it's like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be fooling with that. I'd like this problem right now to go away. Like, my child is facing blank. I don't want them to be facing blank anymore. My marriage is facing blank. My health, whatever, is facing blank. I want freedom. And Jesus has declared freedom over us, that we'll know the truth and the truth will set us free, that he sets us free and we will be free indeed. And so out of that, you begin to see those things. So we don't like our destination, but we refuse to let go of our transportation. The boat was made by man. You got 11 other disciples that don't want to get out of it. They just want the storm to be over. And it's like the way that the storm is going to be over is you got to leave some natural things to gravitate towards some spiritual things. And until you don't leave the natural things to gravitate towards some spiritual things, you're never going to see some spiritual results that are actually big enough to overcome the natural things. Peter was willing to let go of the boat. And my question is, am I? Are you still trusting in the physical things that provide safety? Are you being willing to let go and say, I have heard from God? See, we want spiritual results, but we don't want to let go of the very things that got us into the storm. And so out of that, we're still gravitating towards all these natural things, and fear is being fed, insecurity is being fed. And we know far more about the problem than we do about what God is saying about it. And when I'm saying, like, let go of the boat, what I'm saying is you have to take your attention off of these natural things and fix your focus on the Lord and what he has said about your situation. And so Peter does, and for a moment, He is walking on water. Now I'm asking you to do the same thing. Years ago, I heard a pastor say this. I never forgot it. He said, I would rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat rider. And his point was, is look, and when you're believing for miracles, oftentimes you may get a little wet. But there are going to be some moments, and there's going to be some times where you see the Lord is at work in my life. And I'm not going to see him do that if I don't let go of natural things and to just say, God, what I need right now is a word. And I'm going to fight with that word. I'm going to pray that word. I'm going to speak that word. My eyes are fixed on you. Now, Peter had a moment where he began to sink. And I'll be honest, I've had some of those moments too. There have been times where I've seen miracles. And other times I felt like the very waters I was walking on, I am now drowning in. But even those moments, I wouldn't trade them for the world. Because in that moment, I was at least acting like I had a God. Religion just wants to play it safe, act like it just has a boat. We got more than just fancy doctrine and nice churches. We got a living God. And I want you to act like it in this season. I want you to believe like it in this season. A God who can change you, a God who can change your children, a God who can change the natural, a God whose laws overcome and exceed every natural limitation in your life and family. Peter began to sink and Jesus picked him up. I think Peter was probably asking, why am I sinking? And I think the Lord was asking, why are you doubting? And some of you may feel like I'm sinking. It's like, why am I sinking? And I think the Lord is like, why are you doubting? You really think I'm not here? You really think I'm not out here on the water with you? You really think my promise and my word can't overcome your situation? Why are you doubting, Peter? Well, he knew why. My attention got off of you, Lord. It got off of your word and got over onto the wind and waves. And for some of you, I'm asking you to be a water walker. Don't you dare. You weren't born for the boat. Step out and believe to see God. Wait on God and get a word. When you got that word, you got an invitation to a miracle party. You can show up and get in. But some of you, you have a word. And you need a war, good warfare with the prophecies God has spoken to you. You need a war, good warfare. You need to fight the good fight of faith. With the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And say, I know what God has said. I know what promises he has made me. And I also know the one who made the promise. He is right here with me. He's not going to let me drown. He's not going to let me sink. And for some of you, this is your word in this season. Is the very waters I have been drowning in are the very waters I'm going to walk on. Jesus is here with me. You can go a long way with that word right there. You can go a long way with that word right there. The very waters I have been drowning in are the very waters I'm going to walk on. Why? Jesus is here with me. See, that can be a word you can walk on. Jesus, just as you were with Peter, you are here with me. Just say this with me. Say, I'm a water walker. Oh, come on. Say, I'm a water walker. I wasn't born for the boats. I'm a water walker. I like it. I like it. I like it. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for each and every person here. I thank you for each and every person at every campus. And I thank you, Father, that you give us the courage to be water walkers. That, Father, we wait on your word and we make it a priority. Father, I thank you that those who need a word receive a word. That they make themselves diligent and they study. And let faith come by hearing and hearing by the word. And Father, I thank you for others. The Holy Spirit just reminds them of what you have said to them. And reminds them to fix their focus and get it off all these natural things and over onto the things of the Spirit. And Father, I just thank you for your people. The very waters that they have been drowning in are the very waters they will walk on by the power of your Spirit and the greatness of your name. Father, I thank you for working on marriages and families and bodies. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that your power works on their behalf. Father, I thank you. Your power is restoring marriages. It's not without hope. And Father, even where there's been trespasses, I thank you. Your blood is just washing over their trespasses. That they forgive others of their trespasses. And you forgive them of theirs. We love you, Lord Jesus.